All right, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the regular meeting of the Park and Recreation Committee for the Town of Discovery Bay. At this time, if we could all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Director Steele?
Here.
Director Keyes?
Here.
All right, thank you very
Parks
much.
Parks and Recreation Supervisor Kaiser?
Here.
Some Parks here. And Landscaping Manager Miller?
Here.
Awesome.
And Mike, General Manager Davies has stepped out.
He'll be back in a minute.
All right, good deal. So we'll have public comments. The public comments are limited to a 3-minute time limit. Anything not on the agenda can be brought up. Any public comments? Seeing no public comments, we'll close with public comments and we'll defer to our approved minutes. We don't have any. This is our inaugural Park and Rec Subcommittee meeting for 2017. Discussion items, item one, and I will turn that over to Brian.
Can I make a suggestion? Can we move number six to number one, discuss the committee calendar and set the Park and Recreation standing committee meeting dates?
Yes, let's make that change.
We were talking about meeting quarterly. Does that work for everyone?
So we would be looking at the same Wednesdays.
Yeah, was it quarterly or?
Well, we were meeting monthly, but the process wasn't as formal.
Right.
So staff is recommending maybe every other month or quarterly.
Well, I would think right at the moment every other month, and then let's just see how it goes. And if there's not enough on the agenda to really justify, then we'd go to quarterly just to kind of get it started. I think that would be better.
And I think I already gave you guys dates when we were before all of this, and it was the third Wednesday of the month. Does that work for you? So our next one would be, this is February, so we'd skip March, come back in April.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, whatever we emailed you on that, I'm available.
Yeah, I'll just send a new list.
Send a new email out. Yeah, that'll be fine.
So the year the other?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can always meet sooner or less if we decide what's...
Yeah, if there's something, a hot item that's coming up that we need to talk about, we can just move forward. But for now, let's just try every other month.
All right.
Okay, so starting in April.
That'll be April.
Okay. Nice. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I'm going to go back to item one, established bylaws for the Parks and Recreation Standing Committee. And
I think you have, Carl passed out for you kind of a draft committee bylaws.
Right.
And I don't know if you want to maybe take a look at that, see if that kind of works to do. It looks like the only thing which we've already done, which is the meetings on Article 5, we would do at 3:30.
That sounds good.
Maybe we need to put in there bi-monthly. We clerk bi-monthly.
At least bi-monthly?
Yeah, frequently bi-monthly.
Just say bi-monthly.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have to get that specific. Just the...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that'll work.
We need the elected chairperson and the vice chair.
So you guys want Rochambeau, or what do you want to do?
Yeah. Sure.
I don't care at this moment. Chris has got a couple years on me on the board. I'm fine. I'll just defer to you. And
all right, thanks.
And then why don't we do, if we're the, this is a 2-year term, right?
We're just going to do it 1 year at a time, right?
Yeah, we'll just flip back and let you be whoever the first year, then next year I'll flip back. So
all right.
1 year term for president.
This is just
starting with the most senior member of the
okay. will be chair. Bill will be co-chair. Vice chair, sorry.
For 2017.
Yeah.
For 2017. Okay.
Good deal. All right. So any other questions, comments, any changes? It looks good to me.
Yeah, I think it gets us rolling. If we need to adjust them somehow, some way down the road, we'll adjust accordingly.
You got it.
We don't vote or anything in this. Mm-hmm. We don't do any voting in this. No. Are we just, do we make it so?
It's a discussion item.
All right. Any,
do we need to vote on that?
Or public comment?
Yeah.
Any public comment on this bylaw? Pretty basic. It's just part of our practice.
No public comment. No. All
right.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Adopted.
Okay. We adopted it.
Okay.
All right. Good deal. So we'll move on to item 2, 2017 Aquatics Programming Planning Review.
Okay.
Thank you. Staff.
All right, so I just wanted to update you on where we're at going forward for 2017. If you recall, last year we had some concerns just in terms of meeting safety and making sure best practices were in place, and we were operating on a five-day-a-week schedule, being closed on 2 days per week. We're still a little early in making that determination, but I did have some good news. We were able to, if you recall, we hired a gal that works out in Diamond Hills, and she had the certification. She was just down the street here, and she was our pool supervisor last year. She does still have interest in working here, but just like last year, she has two or three different jobs, so we're kind of the fourth job that she has. So while we were able to capitalize on her being here and her certifications and her knowledge and background, two of the young men that we had, we were grooming to start taking her place in terms of having that little series of people coming in, working for us for a couple of years, working their way up the ranks and moving on. Unfortunately, their families had other plans for them. They now have full-time jobs somewhere else. So we're starting from square one again, but we were fortunate enough that one of Cindy's partners, who works in Livermore Valley at their athletic club and has probably a few more certifications than Cindy, and she lives like right over there, she's going to be joining our aquatics team this year. So instead of having one Cindy, we'll have two Cindys. Again, she has a full-time job, but between the two of them, hopefully we'll end up with either one or three quarters of a person with the certifications that the town needs. So we're really excited about that. We just finished the hiring process with her. I'll be scheduling a meeting with Brian, myself, and Monica, and the gals to start planning out our 2017 summer. So I'm feeling pretty good. The advertisements for recruiting are already out on our website. They're already out on a few other websites where people who are looking for lifeguard jobs will be going. We have that private company out of Sacramento will actually be teaching two lifeguard classes right here in our pool. So the plan would be that any of the kids that live here in town that are looking for jobs, they don't have to travel to get that certification. They can take the class right here. They can be done. We can do the interviewing from there, and hopefully we can start that process of getting it going to where we've got the types of certifications and the types of employees that we need to make sure that we have a really safe and well-certified program this coming summer. Any questions?
What are the ages? What is the starting age that you're looking
for? So you can take the class at 15 and a half, right, but the town requires you to be 16.
You have to be 16.
Or so.
They're like driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When does that season start?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
So here again, it's going to be a typical old-fashioned summer season. Starts on Memorial Weekend. It'll go through probably one or two weekends after Labor Day. We hope to do a full service, but I can't really tell you at this point until we see what kind of kids are coming out of the class, what kind of response we have. Ideally, we want to get in the neighborhood of about a dozen kids that are working here so we can really do the stuff we need to do. That's kind of what we're shooting for. But again, we'll see. A lot more is in place now than was in place last year. So we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Great.
As far as recruiting, can we use the Delta Sun Times spot to put some?
There will be an ad in that paper coming
okay.
up. When does she come out? The 20th? She comes out
whatever,
the 20th.
I'm not sure.
Remember that ad that we...
right. Yes. Use that one for, you know,
we're
lifeguards
waiting.
Needed.
It's in there, and we are waiting for the final draft that hopefully we'll see today or tomorrow.
Maybe the local newspaper, Discovery Bay Press, could do a PSA for recruiting. Or if we could pass it along to the editor and see if we could free me in there.
I think we know somebody.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'd certainly appreciate that.
Yeah, but the Red Cross has our stuff up there. Our website has it up there. Monica's going to be sending stuff out to the local high schools. Cindy actually teaches. She's the coach for Liberty High School swim team. So she's already got the... paperwork to hand out to kids who are interested. I asked her to specifically zero in on Discovery Bay kids that are on that team, with the idea of being they could ride their bike to work.
Yeah.
Why leave town and we could be
a good job.
Perfect.
Okay. And Bill, I did already send it to Liberty, Freedom, and Heritage. So they have it at the Ferger Center.
Great.
So we're way ahead of the game from where we were last year. So again, we'll keep our fingers crossed that they're looking for jobs and not trips to Europe this summer.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for the update. Community garden revitalization, item 3.
Okay. So I've got a couple of handouts here. This is passing down real quick. This is passing down, huh? So I think all of you know, you've been here longer than I have, but there is a community garden back behind the firehouse, and Monica will correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it started with an Earth Day activity in 2013.
Thank you.
And I believe the town had gotten some grant money to establish the garden itself. There's about 30 beds back there. They're 4x6. Yeah, according to the sheet, that's how many are back there. So anyway, Brian introduced me to it last year. He goes, oh yeah, we have a community garden. I was like, where? And he goes, it's over there. And so we went over there, and the weeds were probably 6 feet tall at that time. And I was like, wow, there is a garden there. So anyway, long story short, we have a gal that works our front desk on Thursdays. She's a retiree that lives here in Discovery Bay from the city of Livermore. And she has a passion for gardening. So I've kind of recruited her to be our official ambassador for our garden. She's going to be putting together 3 demonstration beds. The guys were back there the other day cleaning some weeds and stuff out of there. So my thought was it's an asset that the town has. It's just sitting there. I think there were 4 or 5 people at the beginning, and it only went like 1 year, and that was about it. It's already there. From what I understand, Rhonda said the earthworms and stuff that are in the garden are just fabulous right now. So she's going to put together a little demonstration garden. We've had it on Facebook a few times. It's been in the activities guide. We've reduced the fee. It was like $100 in the beginning, which if you look at what I've handed out. $35 is much better, and that will just help offset some of the costs. But I think if we can get maybe a half dozen in there this year or so, that'd be kind of nice. Again, it's already paid for. It's already sitting there. It'd be nice to just get it used. Then we'll just kind of grow up from there. We'll see what happens. No pun intended. So.
That's pretty good. Is there a season on it? Or?
At this point, it's going to be January 1st to December 31st.
Oh, okay.
Grow whatever you want.
Hmm.
Within reason. I retract
it. So I was going through there and I saw some plot and I had to read it twice to make sure there was an L in it.
But anyway, she's made
vegetables and flowers.
Yeah. Ron has done a lot of research for me. She's called around to see who's got what going on. We came up with kind of just taking what was already developed, changed a few dates, tweak a few things here and there, and otherwise it's like, you know, let's see what happens. Maybe we can get some folks out there. She's all excited about it. It's kind of one of those things that she's more than happy to take the lead on, and She'll be in tomorrow. I may not quite catch up to her tomorrow, but probably next week. She's got a few names of people that have been interested in watching on Facebook. In fact, that's the one little post that I put on Facebook that gets hit more often than anything else.
Wow, really?
Believe it or not. The garden? Who would have known?
So, were there any issues with critters or anything like that in the garden, less that you know of from prior use? Just curious.
It didn't get really used a lot. You mean once the food was grown?
Yeah, did we have
no gophers?
Yeah,
or squirrels.
Okay.
Ducks,
birds,
birds.
Yeah.
Huh. And maybe a few ducks. Yeah. Oh. But the ducks stay in the pool, so.
Well, there's a gate there, but there won't be any lock on it, right?
There actually isn't a gate for.
Oh, there is no gate. No.
There's a gate to our maintenance yard, but we're not allowing access
right.
to there.
You'll just come in here and just go back up.
Go back and do whatever you need. So, okay.
Do we have any equipment associated with that? Is it bring your own tools?
Yeah,
type of a bring your own wheelbarrow or whatever
we'll
you
probably
use?
Probably get a hose, but that's about
okay.
it.
Okay. The water's all ready to go.
Yeah, the water's under. It's good irrigation.
Great.
Yeah, they put a drip in there, which doesn't really make sense because you've got to do six beds at one time, or whatever it is. It's just really weird. It's like, well, if you're growing something that doesn't need water,
right.
and I'm doing six beds at once, that'll ruin your crops. So
yeah, it should be
we're
selfish.
We're just going to cap it off. We're not going to take anything out. We'll just cap it off. We'll just buy a hose, and they can run and water.
Yeah, whoever needs to water, whatever they need to water. Okay.
But it would be nice to turn an asset back into
sure.
something that's
yeah.
just not
yeah.
weeds.
That's great. That's a great, I think.
And yes, and we'll be watching what people grow in there.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
All right, any questions on that? So that's yep. kind of the handouts that are going to be, well, one is the handout that the normal person coming in interested in applying. The other is just the internal legwork that Rhonda did to make sure that we kind of match up with what everybody else is doing.
Great.
Okay. We're all set up. It looks great. Thanks.
Thanks.
Good job. Let's see, item 4, 2017 calendar of community centers.
Okay, so let's see. You already have this in your packet for tonight, but normally we're going to have these meetings and I'm going to bring this stuff to you beforehand. But I wanted to take some time tonight or today to at least kind of go over it with you really quick so when you get to the meeting tonight, you'll kind of know what's going on. Rick Powers has historically put this together for you each year. It's basically the calendar for the community center for the large community events that are going on. These particular events are the kinds of events that have large numbers of people or might be partners with other groups in the community. And those are ones per our policy need to be approved by the board in order for them to go forward. So if you look on the second page, I kind of did it in an Excel spreadsheet for you, and I'll just kind of run through it fairly quickly here. If you have questions, let me know. So essentially, our first one will start April 15th. I just realized that's tax days when that one starts. So on that particular one, it's the annual Easter egg hunt on Discovery Bay Lions. It's usually the group that puts that together. It's generally about 400 plus folks that are here. They're on site in the back. Again, that one's 7 to 12 p.m. Let's see, on the 18th, we have Discovery Bay. I'm sorry, we have the Brentwood Library is doing a joint event where they're doing a children's activity here in the community center. And that'll be on the 18th. We're anticipating about 60. They do this a lot in Brentwood at the community center, so the hope is to do one out here and see what happens. Let's see, on the 9th, 16th, and 23rd of June, we're looking at our annual Friday night movie in the park, 6:30 to 10:30. Again, family-friendly activities. I think last year we averaged, about 75 per night, which is generally not too bad. We're going to be right out in the back. And Brian's working on getting us a shed that will hold up our movie screen again. June 3rd is a concert in the park. This is something different. It's in partnership with the Discovery Bay Lions. We're looking at, again, a family-friendly activity, live music, food, alcohol, in partnership with the Lions Club. The unique part of this is we are looking at doing an event where whatever the proceeds are that the Lions brings in will be dedicated back to a specific project here at the community center. So that'll be kind of
Yes.
Yeah, the question I have on that one is whether it's successful or it's not successful. I don't know. Is this something, Chris, you're involved in?
I can talk about it.
Oh, okay. What I want to make sure is that the town gets something. We get something out. In other words,
it would be a benefit. It'll be a benefit event for the community center or towards the recreation programs. And that was generally, but there would be proceeds out of it. Normally, if they make a fee or they charge for something, there's some money that's generated at the Lions Club. And I understand that that money will all be turned over once the hot dogs paid for, then.
Right, but what I'm saying is we should have at least a minimum of something. In other words, if we wanted to have a good event, everybody put it all in and we broke even. Well, now the town didn't get any out of it. Lions Club got whatever they got. But I think there should be at least a minimum of something. What's typical of the fee for that day? If it were just to be a...
Well, this is an inaugural event, and Monica's been working with Brian, our Brian.
Well, I mean, if somebody would just to rent the space, rent whatever they're renting, what would the fee be?
Well, for something like that, because it would be comparable.
Be everything, right?
I'm sorry?
So they're if they were to lease.
If they were to rent the event lawn with the barbecue area,
right.
It's $20 an hour if they have it. $200, and, I mean, roughly, rough numbers, it's not
a lot.
9, 10, 11. So it's only for 3 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, so 26 is
up. No, this event will be more than 3 hours.
Okay. Oh, p.m., sorry. Okay. So there's...
some out there.
Yeah, so there's 12, 30, 14 hours, 10, 20, 200. So it'd probably be about a $350 rental charge if they were to rent it. Maybe we ought to have at least a. What were you guys thinking you'd be able to donate back?
What did the Lions Club think that they would generate on it?
Yeah,
I'd estimate the goal is to make $1,000.
Okay, so the goal would be $1,000 coming back to the center. Would you feel comfortable to say at least a minimum of $250?
Oh yeah, we could. I think the Lions Club would agree to something like that.
Yeah.
And that's not a problem at all. Yeah. They're trying to promote the community center.
Yeah, and that way, if the community says, "Well, the Lions Club is actually going to," you know, they're guaranteeing $250. We're hoping to get $1,000 or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Okay,
I have a question on that.
Sure.
Do we work in conjunction with law enforcement on this? Is there a traffic safety plan? Are there going to be parking somewhere, overflow parking and things of that nature, that's proper signage, all that stuff? How much planning goes into this event in coordination with the Lions Club?
Well, the Lions Club will take the lead on everything, so we can put that in there that we need to make sure that there is the proper parking, that there are proper signage in those directions and those kinds of things. The town is basically the site. Mm-hmm. So that's really all our role is. And after that, it's up to these groups to take care of the other logistics. And you are right in assuming the parking, because that fence, you're right, is new over there in the All God's Children's School. That wasn't there before. That was used for parking. So that could be something we would need to mention to all groups going forward. That
I think the CHP and the Sheriff's Department need to be part of a planning process. When we're talking 350 people, outsiders coming in from the event, et cetera, there's going to be traffic flows issues, there's going to be parking issues, there's alcohol at this event.
Up to the town as far as signing off, which is why we usually do this, because then the town will sign off all of the, once the groups have gotten their alcohol permits, that's part of our stipulation that they need to have that. And then it's always up to the general manager of the town if you want to require security and those kinds of things as well. That's in the policy.
But
historically, it's not been done.
I would agree. I think the Sheriff's Department needs to be aware that it's happening. And CHP needs to be aware. And if they have some resources they could have in the area, just...
Or input.
Yeah.
You know, on where they would prefer the parking or...
I got a feeling if it's really successful, it just overflows automatically going to go across the street. So now you have a crossing.
Exactly.
And maybe the Lions Club could pick up that part and have a traffic committee.
Since this is an inaugural event, there's certain things that are predictable, but we haven't seen them before because this is an inaugural event. So you want to think those things through and start the planning process early on, getting stakeholders involved.
Yeah. Do you think, Chris, you could get a parking committee or a safety committee or something?
Yeah.
Like that?
I think
a few volunteers, a couple hours just across the street.
If it's necessary to, block off a lane of travel or something like that, I don't know that it is, but if that's going to be part of the plan, you got to work with traffic engineering or whatever it is at the county probably to get some kind of a permit to do that.
We've never had any traffic engineering for this site or the shopping center in the history of the town.
Yeah, I would wish you, but I'm not wish you. Because
it's up to the crew that's doing it.
Yeah, but those are good points.
They're good points.
They definitely have a safety on the Lions side. They'll have some sort of a safety committee moving forward.
If we could just put, I don't think you need to block traffic off, but even if put some cones down the street so people just between the two intersections, people are aware that something's going on here, and then somebody can have the stop sign.
I think maybe
at school
they don't turn certain ways or whatever. I'm not a traffic engineer,
but I don't want to.
It would definitely be good to have input from the public safety people on how we can make it safer when we do have our gatherings here.
Okay.
I agree. Sheriff and CHP need to be involved.
Yeah.
I don't know. Get the county involved. The permit would now be $2,000. We
both got grayer when I mentioned that.
Something That's why we got you on board, Mike. You're awesome.
Thanks for the input, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Thinking out of the box here.
You're ahead of us. Stuff just right back in the box.
Well, we got to have a lunch meeting.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Is there anything else on the cluster in the park?
No.
Okay. In July, we've got 3 Friday night movies in the park.
Question on that.
Yes.
Do we try to do any kind of concession? Sell soft drinks, popcorn, candy, whatever, at these movie events as an opportunity to try to raise some revenue or something. I don't know how the committee feels about that.
Is it
pizza pirate? Some premise here, we did have a food truck. Was it the ice cream person come in? And they did some ice cream cones, I think.
Yeah, well, we wouldn't.
That was a couple of years ago. We tried to see if they were interested last year, and they weren't doing that kind of thing anymore.
What about a fundraiser for the River Otters? We have the little concession stand down there at the end, right? We sell whatever out of that window down there.
Yeah, we tried a couple years ago. We purchased all the blinky, flashy, because it's night, it's dark, so try to bring in some revenue that way, along with everything has to be prepackaged. So we did do that. It wasn't successful. We sold, I think, no blinky things. So thought it would be a big hit, and it just wasn't. Most families for the movies bring in their own kind of picnic dinners.
Picnic.
We had talked about, should we try? I tried kind of partnering with Callahan's. So kind of trying to work on a few things like that, but nothing's really stuck quite yet.
I wish we had a concession stand though, and if it was volunteer staffed, at least when we're going to have an event, and then
permits and stuff with food.
Yeah,
and, no, but Costco has got bulk, Cheez-Its in a bag, and
yeah, we've done that.
But just kind of, stuff that's $1
right.
or $2 or whatever.
The
and
biggest challenge
no heat.
For us right now, though, is the volume is so small that it makes it really tough. I mean, you got to figure out, okay, I'll get 2 boxes of Cheetos, and by the time we drive over and we come back, and we
wouldn't
sell
do it. Yeah.
Box,
well, let them know. In it.
Well, my question, my thought there is if we turn that piece over to the River Otters, because they're trying to generate stuff, and let them just handle it. Let their board of directors or soon-to-be board of directors come up with it. Here's an opportunity for you to have a fundraiser to help generate, you know, funds.
Okay, you can ask them.
Yeah, see if they're interested to run with
but
it.
But that's been our biggest challenge, because even here, the sodas we have in the front, most of them have an expiration date.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's one of those, okay, so we got a couple of cases left, do we just throw it away? We only bought 4 cases to start, and we got a case and a half left.
Yeah.
And if you try to pass it off, and Monica and I have actually had this happen, hey, this is expired, I want my money back, and I'm like, great. Tossed out away. Well, we don't have anything left that's not expired already. So yeah. you just don't have the
time. There's not enough volume.
Now, when your programs get bigger and larger, yeah, it would obviously make it worthwhile to do that because you've got the turnover. We even did some research on getting a vending machine. Nobody would even come out here like, you don't have enough volume to do that. It's just not worth it. So it's kind of one of those, it's better to get the event going, and when the events are going, then you can start slugging that in. But to go, we're going to have soft drinks, that's not going to be, in my opinion, the draw. The draw is you're coming to the movies, and right. Oh, while you're here. And even in my previous job, we had very few concessions there because people brought all their stuff. They're there to watch the concert.
It's like going to the regular movies. Yeah. You put it in, wife puts it in the purse. Yeah. Don't want to pay $5, it's a dollar.
Exactly. There you go.
I mean, I'm doing Liberty High School basketball right now, and it's all volunteer concession and tickets. And so I know, but you know, that was one of the things you had to decide on. If your kid was in the program, you got to volunteer for one night, you know, a month or whatever the interval is. But if we had the space available as a possibility, it might be something to talk about the River Otters. And I wouldn't want it. It's not worth buying a, you know, a case of soda if it's going to be junk, but if maybe the group that's benefiting the most would
The River Otters want to make some money, Concord Pavilion, you can run the concession stands there, and they give you a percentage, the parents.
Mm.
We used to do that. I was on the Antioch Delta Skimmers for 14 years.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
But again, and that's there's thousands going to this.
Well, yeah.
You've
got
to make a ton of money.
Yeah, well, that's the way for River Otters to make some money. You have to work, though.
Yeah.
It's not, it's not easy.
Those are good points.
Okay. Run it up there, flagpole, not ours.
Yeah, it's a great way to make money.
Okay, let's see. July 14th, we're going to try another one evening cool by the pool. We're going to try a little fun activity at night. Something different, see how that goes. September 10th, would be the Story Bay Lions doing their car show, their annual event. In October will be our second annual Scarecrow Festival at Moody in the Park. So last year wasn't a bad start. We're going to shoot for doubling our scarecrows.
Nice.
And see what happens. September 23rd, Summerfest, which is a remake of one of the Discovery Bay Lions.
Rocktoberfest
is now Summerfest. So again, an annual event. And then in December, the Holiday Parade. And that's the one, again, where they just kind of use the park parking. So those are the events that we have at this point. Again, the intent was for our policy to bring these large events to you for a one-time approval, and that way we can let all the groups know that they're good to go and start doing some things.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Okay. All right. Kind of piggybacking on the pool, we've got all of our citations taken care of by the health department. We're going to have a shed installed this year, new shed for storage for the swim team and for our furniture at the pool. And with that, we have to purchase a new ADA chair. The chair we have right now is not operable by a single user. It actually needs, you need help to do that, so it has to be a single use type of
thing. Oh, so they will, well, how does...
You sit in the chair and you operate.
Right, but how does the person get in the chair if they're going to do it themselves?
From the wheelchair to the chair.
So they have to be able to themselves transfer.
Slide over onto the chair and then operate the chair into the pool and also get out all by themselves.
Hmm.
You cannot assist them. You can if they want.
Did the code change? Did the code change for when we installed the last one? Or?
No, I don't think it did.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for that update. Moving on to item 6, revenue, explore revenue for light and landscaping improvements.
Yeah,
Brian.
We have an issue out here with light poles that are deteriorating and we need to replace them. And currently we don't have money in the budget for replacing light poles. We did get some more funding from PG&E to replace the one that has fallen down, but my idea, rather than taking money for Zone 8 and 9 at the end of the year and putting it into reserve, we should actually create a fund for lighting and light pole replacement.
Are these like on paths or are these on parking lots?
No,
I don't know what they
on
are.
Streets.
You're talking about the street lights.
Yeah.
Okay.
How would we generate the revenue for that?
We don't actually generate the revenue. It comes out of the property taxes, and at the end of the year, we usually have, it varies anywhere from $10,000 to $30,000 per zone out here. And it
going into reserves.
Yeah. And
as just a general reserve.
Yeah, instead of putting it into reserves, I think we should create an account for
the piece of that in there under restricted reserves,
yeah.
Lighting landscape, light poles only.
Yeah, because a light pole can run up to $10,000, one light pole. And we have zero funding for that right now.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, so I think probably the finance committee would be the people to figure out how to
set that up.
I'm going to discuss it with Dina on Friday,
okay.
And she'll want to take it to the finance committee, and then they'll probably have to come to the board for approval, but we need to establish an account just for that.
Right. And along that same line, revenue sources and things, I would like to see, I guess I'm not on the finance committee, but we have accounting of all of our charges, our invoices and all that for the different things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And we were tracking at one time specific items are going into the community center so that we can kind of get a good sense of what's it really costing us to run that. And for some reason, that's not being accounted that way.
I'm tracking spending for maintenance side.
Right.
Community center.
Yeah, but it's, we have it on, and I know it's not you guys' responsibility, but.
I'm going to pitch several changes how we do the budget and
right.
Work with the finance committee on that.
Okay.
And I would like to see more, a better tracking of where our money goes and the timing of when it's spent, those kinds of issues.
All right.
So, we're going to see some improvements probably over the next 3 years and, and we're going to keep tweaking it till we get it the way we want.
Yeah, I would, just the monthly accounting take care of itself. We did it monthly. I think we're coding it, but we're not separating it out enough. There's a line item in our invoices to be paid and says community
right.
center.
Okay.
And it's being spread out under lighting landscape district number 8.
Yeah.
And it's laid in there. We just need to extract those out and put it down there.
So we have a better reporting form.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Correct. So we can actually see what's going on
right.
in the community center, the maintenance stuff and all the other stuff.
Yeah. I will tell you right now, I've had some preliminary talks with Dina, and I think it's that the software that we use is part of the problem. So we may be looking at redoing our software at some point in time so that we can actually
better
strategize our budgets. I know Brentwood's usually on top of these things, so one of the things I suggested to Dina is let's get together with Brentwood.
See
let's see what they use. I know Carrie Breen's the finance director there, so.
Excuse me. Yeah, I think it's just a matter of our, right, and I agree with that wholeheartedly, but I think in the meantime, between now and then, it's just a matter of staff just putting it under community center and not under lighting landscape number.
Yeah, I think they do separate it to 8, 9 and the community center.
They do, but it's not being reported that way under 8. The community center is just not, it's there's 0.
Yeah, I think when Catherine was here, she took the two that were separated and put them back together as 1.
That's what I think too. So.
Yeah, and I told Dina that I don't like that.
Yeah, okay.
So it's hard. I'm still tracking them separately.
Right.
Myself. I do that myself because I need to know if I can purchase things here or not.
Uh-huh.
I think the purpose of that is to be able to seamlessly draw from either account if you need to. But
well,
we need to track
it. We need to know what it's costing us.
Exactly.
And yeah. I don't want to have to go back manually. Oh, that's community. I mean, the names are there.
No, some of the numbers I don't get all the time. It's like PG&E for this.
Right.
I don't get the final numbers every year.
And I saw them today when I was going through the invoices. We're paying it, and it is separated out, community center, PG&E, and this and that. So.
Yeah, I refer to that.
Internally, let you guys work on that. Yeah. See what happens next month.
I know we're talking about revenue on the polls, but have we gone through an inspection cycle yet, or is there a plan?
Yes, we have.
Okay. You don't have to answer right now. If you have, that's good to know.
Carol, can you make sure that the agenda reflects, the minutes reflect, meeting with finance to obtain better monthly reporting on separating out the community center costs?
Alright. And do we have spares for lighting? Do we actually have a light pole sitting around?
You have to actually order them, and they have to be manufactured.
They don't have standard light poles?
They don't have on the shelf.
What?
No.
You can't buy a 10-pack of those and have a spare?
actually, you can. The county does. But I don't know that we could afford that.
Speaking of which, maybe we could just thought about it, like a co-op. To other cities, they have to buy light poles on occasion. If the county is the light pole guru, I mean, because they're bigger, could we buy with them like the state? You know, if we need vehicles, you can buy in the state contract, something like that. Could we explore just working out something with the county and be able to buy a pole from them when needed? Wouldn't they inventory poles? I would think, for emergency purposes, they would.
They do. I did talk to them, and I was told by the people there. Yeah, I go. Do you guys have a bunch of these on hand? Oh, yeah, we have several. So
maybe that's
a potential opportunity.
Yeah, they should be able to cut our costs a little bit by buying it to their cost and have them available there.
But I also, now that I remember, I go. Do you guys get a deal when you buy it in bulk? And I think they said no, but I don't know that that's necessarily true.
Okay, well, something to explore.
My last item.
No, wait a minute. So, explore revenue, light, and landscaping improvements. Is this something that if we were to put together some sort of a master plan at some point, would that help in this process?
It would be huge.
Okay.
Maybe the first step is to really get a sense of the budget. And okay. The next step is to figure out the master plan, because then it'll help you put all the other pieces together, just in my opinion. All
right.
Something to consider.
It'll be an ongoing topic.
Budget.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I just pass that around for you. That's also in your packet for tonight. Again, I just wanted to make you aware of it. So one of the first things I learned when I got here is that when the community center was purchased, there were groups that were grandfathered into use of the facility at no cost. And again, that was way before me, so... What I did when I got here is not understanding who all these players were, and people kept showing up, and there was no paper trail to indicate who they were. Working with Monica, we really tightened it up, so we at least know if you're coming here on Saturdays throughout the year to play cards from 12 to 4, I know it's Bill Pease, I know how to get a hold of him, I know how many hours he's here. And what I wanted to do this year was to go through and at least start calculating that out so that the board could really kind of understand when we start talking about budget. We've got groups that are using the facility at no cost or very little cost. And so, and of course, we also have stuff that we do wave as well, which are these big events. You know, we're basically waving for the good of the community. But what you're going to have in your packet tonight is this report. And basically, I listed out all the different events, and I put the dollar amount to that. And again, I don't think that's ever been discussed. So if you look at all the stuff that's given away, basically, for the good of the community, you're talking over $15,000 in this year alone with what would have been normal regular charges. Now, that's fine, but I think that's never been quantified so that the board can actually see that on an annual basis. Because if you assume that number is basically correct, and you're talking, you've been in business almost, 3 years for sure, so 15,000 times 3,
40,000.
It just starts going from there. Mm-hmm. So, again, you know, not that it doesn't happen in other communities. I mean, there are things, it's just for the good of the community, it's better to do that. That's part of the normal recreation process throughout the country and the world. But you just need to really kind of look at those numbers as they come through and just be aware that, you know, there is a cost to just saying, hey, you get use of the facility.
Yeah,
good, bad, or indifferent. I just think that's never been quantified so you can see
it. And I appreciate the report. I did read it in my agenda pack, and I was going to ask some questions on it. And you know, $100 here, $80 there is fine, but the two big ones that I saw was the bridge game. Mm-hmm. So my first question was, well, how many people participate on Saturday bridge or Wednesday bridge? Do we know?
24
people. Okay. Well, how?
And that's using our normal cost.
Yeah, so they're there for 4 hours, mm-hmm. roughly. And that's $20 an hour, mm-hmm. right?
And roughly, and we figured 52 weeks out of the year, you'd probably take a few weeks out of there because we bump them around, but I didn't want to be conservative. I wanted to say, if they're here for the full 52 Saturdays, here's what it costs. Now, what I'm trying to do going forward with some of the groups is to, using Amanda Dove's program, they basically provide us with the advertising, which kind of offsets that. So I think going forward, this is going to be a good tool in terms of building the master plan and going, okay, so you've been here since the beginning, you've been doing this. Is it realistic to assume that, okay, if you're going to do this, we may want this from your group
to offset some of those costs? Yeah, I would say if...
I mean, there's a lot of options.
It's 20 dollars an hour, and that's 4 hours. So I don't play bridge. I don't know bridge. My mom, when she was around, she was really into
it. Yeah, that's my parents.
So I don't know bridge people.
I know.
I was thinking. But if I came to play bridge, and I don't know if there's money transacted in a bridge game or not.
Oh,
if
just hang them out on Discovery Bay.
Well, that's fine. Okay. But traditionally, I don't know if there is a way to do that in bridge, or if you just walk away with bragging rights. I don't know. But is $5 to play bridge too much to ask of a bridge player? I don't know.
I think some of the biggest challenges, and you guys have sat with us when we talked to the tennis players.
Yeah.
You know, they were given use of the facility on Saturday mornings, the tennis courts. It's been that way since day one. And I think you were here when Catherine and I had a 3-hour discussion
right.
even once about somebody infringing on their turf, and this is our facility. Yeah. So you may have that same discussion with the card folks. Good discussions to have going forward. I mean, folks that play bridge every Saturday are probably pretty passionate that they've never paid anything before, and now you're talking $5. I've had very similar challenges in other places that I've worked. It's usually a good rule of thumb to start off with a dollar and never give anything away for free, because mm-hmm. then you can go, well, now it's $2. But when you go from zero to five
is too big of a pump.
Then, well, it becomes that, well, you always did it all these years for free, why all of a sudden we have to pay $5? That's an argument that when you start with $1, to
sort of like income tax back in the early
90s. How do you undo what you did before? How do you explain that you could always do it before for free? Why can't you do it for free?
Because we didn't
own it. It would be an interesting challenge.
Yeah, and I'm with you. But I think there's...
It's a lot when you add it up.
Well, yeah, when you talk $8,000 and the other unit, or the other guys, the Saturday guys, are at $5,000, there's $13,000, $14,000 out of just two groups. I mean, to ask for a dollar, I mean, got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so piggybacking on that too, with all the extra meetings we're going to be having in this facility, we're probably going to have to raise the rates to cover that too, as far as
for electricity.
No, right now the current water and wastewater currently pays us for the general board meetings out here.
Right.
Now that we're going to be using this for formal meetings instead of renting it out to other groups, I think the other committees need to pay rent for the facility during that time.
Well, I'm good with that.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I was going to talk to Dean about that too.
Yeah. Well, have your internal staff discussion, and when you reach a recommendation, bring it forward.
I think she understands already.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I will probably ask this kind of a question at tonight's meeting. And See what the rest of the board members feel about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I take your comment, you know, $5, no bucks, a dollar,
maybe start
a little more palatable to get started anyway. Yeah.
Or $1 and you have to help with one or two of our big projects. If we need some volunteers doing something on a Friday night or whatever, maybe that's an option for
us. For the seniors?
Yeah, no,
well, we just have move chairs and tables around.
Chairs and tables, right?
But the idea is you could do different combinations of things. I think the most important thing I wanted to get out of this moving forward is, since money is a huge issue, is it's never really been presented. That
right.
When I came in, I'm like, stuff's just flying out the doors.
Exactly.
Like, well, at least you're aware of it. You can still choose to do that, but at least you're aware of there is a consequence.
Any other future agenda items?
I can't think of any at the moment. Oh, one thing, and this would go back to the pool on the River Otters. And I think we brought it up one other time, but I thought it was referred back to our committee, and that's to try to get them to be self-sustaining. Because right now we have our own internal staff time taking care of wages and accounting purposes and all those types of things. And I think we talked about trying to talk with them to get their 501c completed this year and to get their board of directors elected if they don't have one already, and to be able to transition into 2018. Mm-hmm. So they're running all that themselves and they just lease the pool from us. We just get a check from them and they handle everything else themselves.
The administration part.
Exactly.
Essentially, they're doing that now already. Their staff is 1099ers, so we're not doing payroll taxes, anything. It's just a straightforward contract. The River Otters Booster Club is really, at this point, doing most of the work. We'll take the registration in, but it's all done online, or they can come in and register during normal business hours. Honestly, at this point, you know, they're a big supporter of us. Even Monica has very little to do with what she might have done maybe the first year or the second year. They're really very good at what they're doing. At this point, I think it's fine to still talk about that. I don't know if it needs to necessarily be a huge priority, because the staff time really is pretty minimal. But in doing the master plan and stuff, we can talk about that as well. They're a big draw. They're, you know, 100 families right now, Monica? About
114, not families, swimmers.
So
about probably
70 families.
Some families have two or three swimmers.
Yeah. Right, because some families have multiple kids swimming.
So they're very supportive. They're really...
I'm with the organization 100%, and I want them to continue and prosper and all that, and I hope someday... They would be able to go out and get private funds, bring us a plan, and we could tear that up and put a brand new pool in there. But it can't be our dollars because we have dollars to do that with.
And I think, again, the master plan will help with that. Yeah. So I'm not saying that I disagree, but I'm just saying that, you know, it's there.
As long as it
happens this year or 5 years from now, unless it becomes a huge issue for us in terms of internal work, it's pretty manageable.
Yeah. Maybe. Just from the financial side of it, collecting the monies and all that.
It's all done electronically. So
right, but if they hadn't paid, who calls to... electronically, they're going to have to give a charge card to sign up or not?
I do.
Yeah, Monica does that.
Right, but if they didn't, they just say, hey, I'm signing up, I'll send you a check next week or whatever, and we got collection, we're on the collection business.
I process that.
Right.
There's a cost.
So there's a cost involved there. You know, keeping track of all that. That should all be, that's the kind of part that I think they should be able to handle. Get to the point
have their own bank account.
Yes, have their own bank account. We're not a bank. The monies go in and out of theirs, and they just cut us a check for the rent on the pool. Just like a regular Discovery Bay Lions Club comes in, rents the place, they cut us a check.
We used to rent Post Madonna's swimming pool, and that's what we did. We just cut them a check.
Yeah, and internally, you got your teams or whatever managed everything,
yes.
The sign-ups and all that stuff. So that's
a good way to, if we can get to that at some point, that'd be good.
That's what my goal would be, to try to push them to mm-hmm. know it's coming, that right. the light's on, the train is coming. And maybe, Brian, with a little help, maybe you could talk to him or Matt. Well, Matt, you know,
a little. I work with them all the time.
Yeah, but to have Brian talk to their board of directors about here's how we did it over whatever, just to get them up and rolling a little bit, because those folks that are managing that and are volunteering for it have never done this before. They're just learning as, you know, moving along.
Yeah, and they probably don't realize all the costs are involved with it either, so they're not handling everything.
Correct. Yeah, so we've got to transition away from our own internal staff doing that, even though it sounds easy, it's burning up time and effort.
Maybe Dr. Pierce and one of the Booster Club members, if there's a meeting, I wouldn't mind being able to be a part of that.
Then to find out, do they have a board of directors established?
Yeah, let's find out.
They, for one thing, they should certainly be a 501c and certainly have a board elected and certainly have meetings.
Yeah, I heard they do, but I don't know for sure.
Well, let's find that out.
Yeah, because I think they kind of feel like we're their fundraisers when it comes to things, and that's something that they really need to get going on their own to build their team.
Correct. Put the black hat on me.
They may
tell them you're getting beat up bad. You need to find these answers. You wear the white hat.
For them to join a league, they're going to at some point have to have a pool for the event.
Yeah.
And they may have to end up leaving a pool like we did to do that.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't want them to move from here, but they need to get up and get on their own.
Okay.
All right. Any other?
Do you need any clarifications on anything, Carol?
I just a future. I've heard rumors there's going to be a dog type of event somewhere in the community. There's a group of neighbors that are interested in the adoption and a little dog show of some sort. And they've asked me about parks and places to go and those things. And I've mentioned that I would, you know, we could talk to Mac about those kind of things, but it'd be a little mud strut of some sort. And
names and numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, so, we got a dog park.
Be like a Saturday for 4 hours. I know exactly.
Here or Cornell wouldn't be the two best spots.
Okay.
I would like to see the dog park utilized more for some of the folks that may participate in that.
Yeah.
Event, maybe don't come here and don't realize you've got a nice little spot there. And
that's off leash, though, correct?
Yeah. Some of the people are.
I see them out every morning. I come to work and there's people out.
Well, I'm sure there are, but
I don't know if a lot of people know.
But it'll be a good chance
just to get them to come and see it. So
yeah. These people want to have a dog park on the west side of town, and so those are the people organizing it.
Okay.
But it's getting just a heads up that there might be an event that a community member should come forward.
There are some folks out there that want to get together with us and talk about it.
The leash problem is getting a little bit better at Cornell, too. We posted more signs there, so people are more aware, at least when we come in and they tend to leash their dogs.
But, yeah.
We are getting a little bit better over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I would like to fence an area near the tennis courts for an off-leash area for them, because it's a great area.
Yeah. All right.
That's something
that'd be good to have a future meeting.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. Well, I appreciate everyone at this time. We'll adjourn.
Thank you.